Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right. It's that riot show coming to you on a different day than usual, Monday, here in the Brooklyn studios. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And the best corner in the world, Judo Larry.
There you go. And we're happy to join you again. Shout out to all our fans and listeners, which are growing in number by every episode, Judo Larry.
The numbers just...
Yes, they're
blowing up.
They're exploding. Okay. They're exploding. Very pleased to have some new followers. Among them, I have to point this out. You know, we point out some riotous listeners of note, and recently found out that we were followed by the Beige Philip Show, which you may or may not be familiar with. But Beige Philip, of course, is the podcast by Dante Nero and some other New York comedians. Dante Nero, the longtime writing partner, I think, and just comedic attaché of the late, great Patrice O'Neill, who started his own show on Sirius XM. It was called Black Philip, which was a takeoff on Dr. Phil, where Patrice had his comedic genius focused on relationships. And for that sort of comedic tree, for that branch to be fans of the riot, Judo Larry, and we're very proud to have that happen.
That is really awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I know those guys, and they're funny as shit.
Yep.
I mean, that's good stuff.
And it's better than Dino Badala or John Fugelsang following us.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on the Fugle thing. That is just the greatest thing.
The best. Yeah. Oh, by the way, our buddy Dean, which yes. This if you've been listening to the last two or three episodes, is now a running sort of love-hate relationship with the dude. The last tweet he sent us all involved about how we're not really in media.
Oh.
And how we're really not in show business. He thought he was going to hit us with that, Judo Larian.
Oh, my God. Because he got to be on MSNBC.
CNN.
CNN. No, but he was on MSNBC first.
That's right.
With that stupid woman. With
right, right, right.
Thuffer and Thuck attack.
Yes, yes. But that's okay. I mean,
that's okay.
We'd rather be funny on podcast than unfunny on a national platform.
That's right. I've seen Dean stand up. And
yes.
Yeah, don't quit your day job.
Yeah, the Brown Comedy Tour. The Muslims Are Coming, or whatever that tour is.
Well,
did he write a book, The Muslims Are Coming?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I saw him years ago. He was doing the Axis of Evil tour.
Oh, there you go.
So, but I mean, it had like one or two good laughs.
But none of us can make jokes about Muslims. He gets very offended about that.
No, that's very offensive. But it's okay for him to make fun of Mitt Romney's family. Fuck you, Dean. You're a humorless douche.
Yes, and much like the person we're going to talk about in a few minutes, we don't care when people... take up with us. We don't care when people stir it up with us, Judo Larry, and we kind of like it.
And especially on Twitter.
Yeah. You're not going to hear us complain about somebody calling us like two trolls or, you know, or overweight slob or...
We're not in real media.
We're not in real... That doesn't really bother us.
We really don't care.
No, no. We've built enough success in other endeavors where this really is just something we do for a couple of hours a week.
You talk about something that's purely for fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, chew on this, all you naysayers who say we're not in media. I think we put our attention on the media, quote unquote, for 2 weeks... And we had a national radio show as a result. Just because we decided to focus for 2 weeks.
But then we Fugelsang.
Then we Fugelsanged our way out of it.
Out of it by being rude to the program
director. That's right.
Director.
Rude. Rude is an understatement. We just fucking didn't care what he said.
You know what? I think for... listen, guys, tonight's show would be better... Shut up.
Hello?
Listen, they're working on our phone, so you keep talking, but if you hear a click sound, we're not hanging up on you. There's just some work going on.
It's going to sound like we're handing.
Okay. Loser.
Hello? I know what you did.
I know what you did, Oscar.
All right. But anyway, Judo Larry M., this was championship weekend in the NFL. A couple of good games. What'd you think? Let's talk about the AFC games first. What did you think about the Broncos beating the Patriots?
I was actually surprised by that.
Right.
I actually thought the Patriots were going to win on the road.
Oh, really?
Well, I got a split this week on my predictions. I picked Seattle, but I also picked the Patriots. I thought that they would go. I mean, I wasn't impressed with the way the Broncos yeah. beat the Chargers, and there's just something funny about them. I mean, I know they're good, but it's just you just don't get that feeling like they're like big time championship yeah. team. Maybe they are now, but right. I do know that Brady was allegedly sick earlier in the week. Maybe yeah. that had something.
Everyone is making excuses for that fuck.
But I just mean he didn't play his usual yeah. good game, and yeah. they couldn't get running, and then LeGarrette Blount got yep. hurt and yep. whatever.
Yeah. No, the Patriots definitely went down. I couldn't be happy, and I hate the fucking Patriots. In the yeah. AFC, there's no team I hate more than the Patriots.
In that regard, this really worked out.
Yeah.
And the 49ers.
They're the two number one seeds. When's the last time that happened? Like, I think the last couple of Super Bowls, you've had wild card teams involved. I mean, I know you had the Packers, the Giants twice in recent years, the right. Steelers. Made a nice run. The Ravens last year were a wild card team, I believe.
And the Saints weren't number one overall. Were they number one overall?
Yeah, I think they had won their division that year, so they weren't a wild card team. But so this year, the two number one seeds in each conference made it to the Super Bowl, which is rare. But it's also good because they didn't play each other during the regular season. So I like the Super Bowl when they haven't met each other. I think that adds to it, which also has, you know, the last couple of years, you haven't had that drama. You know, the teams in the Super Bowl have met each other during the season. But this one's nice. I like it. And you also have the other twist where they used to both be in the AFC West prior to the most recent realignment, right? Seattle used to be an AFC team. So this is also a rekindling of that old rivalry. So I like it. I like it. And I like Seattle. The way they put that Seattle-San Francisco game was brutal.
Yeah, it was rough.
That's old-time football, boy. I love that type of football.
Yeah, no.
Hard-hitting injuries, people getting fucked up every fourth play.
Bowman got carted off.
But did you notice he held on to the football?
Yes, he did.
That's Mas Macho.
There he was.
His fucking leg got ripped off, basically, at the knee, and he just held on to the fumble. He's like, fuck you, you're not taking this ball away from me.
And he didn't get credit for the fumble.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah,
they didn't review it.
Yeah. That was fucked. But you know what? At least they had, there was cosmic justice, because they stopped them on fourth down on the next play. Yes, so at least there was some cosmic justice to some extent. But that was, like, very manly of Navarro Bowman.
Yeah, but if that happened to me, I want the ball. I don't want to hear, guess what? We can't review it. For some reason, we can review this, but we can't review
that. I just broke my fucking leg for this ball, and you can't review it.
My career could be over, you fucks.
You fuck.
You fuggle sang my play.
You fucking zebras. Yeah, they had a couple of plays wrong in that game.
Yeah, and the offensive line
got fucked up too. Because you know what's interesting is that game had a lot of bad penalties too. There was one where Dante Whitner for the 49ers got called for headhunting, but like, he never hit the guy in the head, and then he hit him with the shoulder. That was like a bad call. I mean,
the punter got run into flat out. That's usually the 15-yarder. They give you the ball back and nothing. They gave like a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, the non-personal foul. Yeah. But anyway, it was a great game. And Judo Lariam, I want you to tell the people now who had predicted the Super Bowl way back in week number 4.
That would be the president. No, actually, you did.
Yes, I did. I don't mind taking credit for my projections and my predictions. That's what I used to do for a while for a living.
You're like the Greek Nostradamus.
Yeah, I'm like the Greek Jimmy the Greek. You know what he said, too? Yeah, your blacks were crossbred for them high thighs and fast ankles. And that's right. That's why they run so much faster.
And thus ends the career of Jimmy the Greek.
More like him than I realized.
Yeah. Jimmy the Greek trailblazer.
Trailblazer in human genetics.
Speaking the truth about what slave owners were really up to.
Hey, but the other thing that came out of this. So heading to the Super Bowl, we've got this great matchup of the Denver offense versus the Seattle defense, especially that secondary.
Right.
And boy, that's a matchup I've been looking forward to all year, because that's the one where they haven't played each other. Really awesome on both sides of the ball there, the offense versus the defense, immovable object versus the irresistible force.
Right.
I don't know. I tend to take Seattle in these types of situations. I like the defensive team in this. What do you think?
Yeah, usually I tend to believe that the team with the best defense is going to pull it out.
Yeah.
The only thing is that Peyton Manning does seem to be on a bit of a mission.
Yeah, he's on a roll.
And Wilson's a kid, and who knows how he'll behave in the biggest stage. And
yeah.
You know, look, even in this game, he fumbled on the first play of the game.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. But let me ask you this, just so the people out there know, Judo Lariam, let's assume for a moment that we're not admitting to anything here, but he occasionally likes to make a wager on the big game.
Occasionally.
And I think you've got a remarkable streak going on, right?
Yes, I do.
Like, what is it, 8 Super Bowl winners in a row?
At this point, the last time I got one wrong... and it's a very tiny.
Was the Giants Ravens, right?
Yeah, it would be the Giants and the Ravens.
So that's in 2000.
Right.
Oh, shit. That's more than 8 in a row. That's like, 13 in a row? 12, 13 in a row?
Yeah.
So Judo Lariam has...
I got the 2 or 3 before that, right, too. So
yeah.
I mean, overall, it's something like 16 out of 17.
So Judo Lariam, ladies and gentlemen, and I couldn't even begin to tell you his methodology, but Judo Lariam, betting against the spread, has not lost a Super Bowl bet since he lost on the Giants-Ravens in 2000. So for those of you listening, you might want to pay attention here. Judo Lariam, are you prepared this week to name who you're betting on?
Or no.
Who you're picking for the Super Bowl?
No.
No? You're going to wait till the last minute?
No. There'll be a show next week.
Yes.
Obviously, before the big game.
Before the big game.
And I will announce...
You will announce your pick then?
My pick.
There you go.
There you go. So,
you're going to wait for the line to settle?
That's it. Well, that and I really have to take a look at it.
Yeah.
It's because in the next couple of days, you're going to find out who's been injured.
Right.
And who's not.
Right.
Then you're going to start to hear a little bit more about the weather because it's going to be outdoors here in New York. It's going to be cold. Well, New Jersey. And some things that have to be factored in.
Right.
You know, Pete Carroll against Fox.
Right, the coaches you have to take into account.
There's a lot of there's actually, believe it or not, there's a lot of things I quickly juggle in my pea brain before.
A lot of things you juggle, like a pair of testicles.
Like your sack. I knew that was. And I look forward to it.
It's good. Much like my sack or the.
I was going to say just like the Super Bowl. But next week I'll have my pick for you, and
excellent.
I have a pretty good streak going. So.
All right, but hey, before we move on, what do you think of that fantastic interview by Seattle corner Richard Sherman after the big game?
Let me tell you, Michael Crabtree, that's what you get when you put a sorry receiver that Michael Crabtree ever gets me. I'm the best corner in the league.
Oh, and then he went over to him, like, did you see the shake his hand, and Michael Crabtree like push his face? It's Michael Crabtree. You better get your $5 ass out of my face before I make change.
Like, it was like one of those. It was like one of those routines.
No, that was fantastic. I love Richard Sherman. I think he's not only is he like, if not the best cornerback, like among the top 2 or 3 in the league, but I just love it because I don't think any of this is anything other than an act.
Oh, I disagree.
I think this is all a carefully crafted display for the benefit of the people watching. In other words, when he did that thing with Aaron Andrews, who, by the way, is a piece of ass, on the sidelines with Fox, did you notice that he kept looking at the camera? It was like a wrestling interview.
Well, where else is he going to look?
No, but what I mean is when someone loses their mind like that and is really upset, you'll see them like, you know, they won't look at the camera. You have trouble hearing what they're saying. They might even drop an F-bomb or two because they're supposedly worked up, right? I mean, that guy had literally just made the play that got his team to the Super Bowl because it was the last play of the game. He knocked away the pass that was heading in the end zone for Crabtree, and it got intercepted by a teammate. So you would think that someone who's full of emotion like that, if he was really, really upset, he'd be like, that motherfucker, you know, it's like, you know, but he was it was like a controlled rage, you know. He was angry, but he was measuring his words. He made sure that he was communicating through the camera properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the NFL has a 20-minute rule on that. They usually don't like you to do interviews right away. Right
no, but after. That was a sideline thing. It wasn't like when he came out after he had showered and everything, it was a completely different person. He had the bow tie.
Yeah, he was all calmed down.
He had the reading glasses and everything.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank my teammates for a game well played. I mean, I think that was a very, very carefully crafted outburst.
That's interesting.
That I think was intended for the Broncos wide receivers to get them to play timid or something. I don't know. But it was very... And someone else pointed out, he was like either the valedictorian or salutatorian of his high school. He graduated from Stanford. He's an intelligent guy. He's not...
I think it's embezzler. I think you've confused your words.
But he's like a really smart kid, and I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And I took it as a great interview. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what people expect. Whenever these people come out and they give us like the same answers over and over again. It was a good game. We played hard. The team came together. Our opponents put up a good fight. You know, it's like that's boring shit.
Yeah, but you have to have a little class.
No, you don't.
Okay, Jerry Springer.
But this was, I thought it was a great little 10-minute interview, whatever it was, 5-minute interview, whatever it was. I thought it was fantastic. I've seen all the negative reactions on Twitter and Facebook to this guy. I don't understand. I don't know. You apparently didn't like it, huh?
No, I didn't. I didn't like it at all. Because it actually reminded me of a wrestling
interview. Let me tell you, brother. I'm going to break your neck the next time I see you.
The next time I break your neck, take that title.
No, I thought it was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah. I could see that you like that kind of filth.
Well, I don't like it if it truly is someone losing his mind. And being an animal. But this, I really don't think this was his, I don't think that was the case. I think this was a carefully crafted message. It was a carefully crafted act. And also, look, the guy is one of the better corners, so he's backing up what he says. But fantastic. And he made a great play, too. You can't deny that. He made a fantastic play to save that game for them.
Yes, he did. But it was also a shitty throw. So mm-hmm. It was underthrown.
It was a bit
of the fact that he could get up there and just knock it out. I mean, you got to lead it more so that he can't get a shot at it. And that way, Michael Crabtree, who was only about 30% of the way into the end zone when it came, he could just keep running straight through. And
stride.
So, but and that's the thing, though. Kaepernick had 3 turnovers.
Yeah, he had a bad game. I mean, he had a great game running the ball. What do you have, 130 rushing yards?
Yeah, but he stunk throwing.
Yeah, yeah. Just not a good passing day for him.
No, actually, him and Tom Brady had terrible days.
I agree.
Yeah.
But anyway, we don't want this to become WFAN sports radio right now.
No.
We got out of that business, but it was interesting to watch those games. Let's talk about something else. Judo Lariam, what do you think about what's happening now with those Sochi Olympics?
I think Seattle might win.
Yeah. Oh, no, okay. There's a lot of tension out there.
Yeah, yes, there is, because there's an Islamic group this morning made a threat against... Yeah, they went... And they made their usual stupid threat. They're going to bomb and kill and blah, blah, blah. And the State Department issued a travel warning to American citizens going over there. And I mean, it's a horrible thing. I mean, God forbid something should really
happen. I've actually heard a lot of security experts say that with almost 100% certainty, there will be a terrorist act at Sochi. Like,
oh, really?
they're convinced of it.
Oh, really?
I'm surprised, like, in your field, you haven't heard any of this chatter.
Well, look,
you just don't deal with that sort of thing.
No, but mine is like personal security.
Right.
I'm not dealing with international security. I mean, this is a government. Whatever government, whatever country the Olympics is in, it's always
the host country.
The host country has to lead on security. Now, look, the Russians actually are good at security.
And are they?
And yes, I think they are. And they will actually shoot first and ask questions later. Absolutely. Especially if you're gay. But... So, Billie Jean King, watch out. That's a double travel warning for you. There's terrorists and there's Russians.
Why do you think Billie Jean King, is she going to Sochi?
Yeah, she's one of the gay group that's going over there to show our values.
Oh. How's she going to show our values? Is she going to finger pop some other broad over there? Martina Navratilova or something?
She might kiss Madonna in front of Putin and shock the hell out of him. Or she might bend over. She might twerk the Pussy Riot or
I still think that's like one of the funniest conceptual things ever.
What, twerking?
Yeah. So like back when the Iron Curtain was still up, I knew people who used to go to the Soviet Union, you know, on trips. And they would say like the most powerful thing America could do to bring down the Soviet Empire from the inside was to send over Levi's and rock music. And Coca-Cola.
Yeah, of course, all our stuff.
All our stuff that they couldn't get in the Soviet Union.
That they're dying to have.
That would spur people to like resist and to revolt internally. You know, winning the war without firing a shot. You know, and that kind of made sense. We're going to export our the fruits of our economic prowess. We're going to send that our culture, our culture of freedom and of rock and roll and Levi's and the Marlboros and everything.
Right.
What are we doing now with Obama? Let's see. We want to show our values by sending over the biggest, like, gayest contingent.
The best-known gay people that we have to show that bigoted Putin, hey, you, we don't stand for that.
We are the number one cocksuckers on the planet, quite literally.
That's right. Freedom is all about getting some jizz shut in your face. And you realize... Ding. And you realize the Russians have a law in the book.
Yeah.
That it's called, they refer to homosexuality as propaganda targeted at minors.
Nice. So, it's not just ass fucking, it's pedophilic.
Yeah, that's right. In other words, well, it's just anything that's not normal.
Nambla is very upset at that.
Namblaski is very upset at that.
So really, the way they combat homosexuality is by, what was that, corrupting the youth?
Their law specifically says it's propaganda directed at children. So as long as they could put that there, they can clamp down on anything sexual. They could say pornography is homosexuality.
So, I like that.
Yeah, I know you do. You should see how happy John is.
Yes, I am.
I haven't seen him this happy since the Patriots got eliminated yesterday. So Putin's it's going to be interesting to see how he greets all these people.
Probably with rubber gloves on. I do not want to touch them.
You are a violation of our law. I do not want to see you here.
Now, how funny would it be if you send all these gay guys over and they do end up like trying to tool some kids in the keister or something over there?
Mr. Putin, Brian Botano. Is this an American fag?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We do not want to hit. Billie Jean King, is this an American fag? Mr. Putin, please watch it. Especially, they don't use that for women, but they're both fags. Just get the mafia after them. And continuing the Russian terror, now it turns out that they think a 17-year-old Russian kid is completely responsible for all those credit card things that happened at Target.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, they said it this morning. He's like 17 years old. And
I can tell you right now, Russians, North Koreans, the Vietnamese, they're huge, huge into cyber hacking. Yeah. Huge. I mean, back when I did computer fraud for the banks, they were like the top three for everything. You got a few from Mexico or from South America, but mainly Russia and North Korea and Vietnam.
North Korea. I can't believe North Korea would be involved.
What the fuck else do they have to do over there?
NoCo.
Just to tell you how stupid it was, there was a headline here that says a person held hostage in NoCo. And I just turned to Judah Larry and I go, where the fuck is NoCo?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't dawn on me that they were using shorthand for North Korea.
Right. And at the last second, I was like, oh, it's North Korea.
What the fuck's wrong with
you? It's so stupid because, like, here in the city, you know, they have Soho, they have NoHo, and all this stuff. And like, now we're calling a filthy dictatorship NoCo. It almost sounds cool.
Oh, man. But here's the thing, Judah Larium. Do you predict, I want your prediction here.
All right.
At the Sochi Games, during the medal ceremonies, will we see hot woman-on-woman sex on one of those? I don't mean like grinding with a double dildo or scissoring, but I mean like some deep tongue kissing, possibly grab of an ass.
No, but I hope so.
See, I think that...
I actually think all that's going to fall into the background.
Really?
I do. It's going to be all about hockey and seeing if they can avert a terrorist attack.
See, I think that somebody, I don't know if it's going to be U.S. or maybe even Russian, anything that involves more than one person being on the stage, whether it's like, the female team sport or something like that, may involve a pair of homosexuals doing some open loving on the stage just to combat the horrible Russian laws.
You mean like the time that black guy gave the
in the 68. Carlos was it Carlos Rogers, I think, gave the black power salute in 1968 in Mexico City. Yeah. Right. I think something similar is going to happen here.
It could.
Yeah.
It could, but I actually think that's going to be forgotten.
Will it be hot?
No. I have a feeling that it's going to be like...
What if it's two guys that are the first
because,
to do that?
No, but you know what it is? Because the female athletes aren't hot. They're
Some of them are. Some of those Russian broads are. They get some of those tall blondes with the blue eyes.
No, they're not.
Some of them. I didn't say all of them.
They don't have as many blonde blue as you think.
Oh, yeah?
They get a lot of dark-haired women. But they're not. The thing is, to be an athlete, you have to be really physical and athletic. And
some of them, it's a different type of
not,
beauty.
It's not... womanly. I mean, it's not good for that. It's good for being an athlete. I mean, you know.
Oh, so what about two gay guys going at it on stage?
Well, that's fine.
That's hot.
That's hot. Well, that's expected. Actually, you know what would be really great? If they What's both... that? Pulled out Putin masks and then started making out.
While the Pussy Riot plays in the background.
And then the Pussy Riot runs out. Putin is a homosexual. Pussy Riot, Pussy.
Yeah, cock. Thank you.
Cocksky. Thank you.
Our favorite act. 13 seconds of nonsensical noise.
Yes, while wearing professional wrestling masks from the 60s. They disguise themselves as the Pussy Riot.
With ski masks.
Yeah, but I saw the documentary. Yeah. Where, like, some of them were like they almost look like the Unknown Comic. Like some people like a paper bag over their head. Just cut eyes out. I was like, that's really clever.
Yes. Yeah. Pussy Riot, terrorism, gay making out. It looks like a Winter Olympics to look forward to. Usually, I don't give a shit about the Olympics.
Yeah. Actually, I don't pay attention to the Olympics at all, except for the hockey, which I love.
You just love hockey, right?
Yeah, but other than that, no, but I'm not kidding. Like the winter, I don't watch anything else in the Winter Olympics. I never watch the Summer Olympics.
Who it's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah.
I don't care about it. I don't associate sports with my nationality.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is. You know, for people who don't understand, like, and the rest of the world does.
Right.
Which is another reason why soccer is huge elsewhere. And, like, Americans, they really don't care.
Well, soccer sucks a dick.
Yeah, but it's associated with nationality. You know, think about it. And it's usually countries that have shitty militaries. Like, this is how they get to be tough. Ew. We beat you in kickball. Fuck you.
Yeah, and you know what's worse, though? This country's really falling into that spiral of enjoying soccer. I mean, now I can walk into a bar and there's probably going to be a TV tuned into some fucking British soccer game or something, or what is it, the Italian league or something like that.
Yeah, no,
the Mexican league. There's always going to be a fucking game on it. They play that shit all year round in those countries. There's no off season for soccer.
Yeah, I know. And I've seen it too. Manchester United and all this shit. It's horrible.
Fuck them and Piers Morgan. Soccer sucks. It is the most horrible game on the planet.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
I would rather watch two flies fuck than watch a soccer game for more than 30 seconds.
Actually, you know what? I was reading this story about somebody who got kidnapped by a person, like thrown into like a coffin
the
ground.
Yeah.
I would rather have that happen to me for a year than watch soccer.
Yeah, it just seems to me to be so symptomatic of and emblematic of the rest of the world. They just love doing nothing for 58
nobody scores.
However the fuck long soccer is, I don't know.
Well, you don't know because they add time on at the end.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing I've always said. Soccer is, I mean, as corrupt as boxing is, soccer is designed to be corrupt.
Right.
First of all, in this day and age, why does the official time come from the referee's watch? Every other sport, it's up on the board. Everyone can see the clock ticking down.
Right.
Like this fucking thing, the guy has it in his pocket whenever, like you said.
Right.
What's to prevent him from adding a couple of minutes every time the team he bet on is losing?
Right. That's my old thing. Suppose he has a bet on the game. Like, oh, well, we lost 9 minutes in substitutions. Let's put that on.
Or that other one, which I know you love because you're a hockey fan. Hockey, offsides is pretty easy to define.
Yeah.
You're either over the blue line or you're not.
Yeah.
And there's no debate.
Right.
In soccer.
And they've got a guy standing right there to watch to make sure that the puck goes in ahead of you before you go over the blue line.
It's simple. Soccer, it's another thing made for fucking corruption.
Yeah.
The offsides line can be anywhere on the field.
Right.
Because they have this dopey definition that's you... the ball has to go in ahead of the last guy on defense.
Right.
So as long as these guys all stand in midfield, it don't matter.
Plus, they talk about corruption.
Yeah.
It also allows for, like, if a judge
offsides.
Doesn't like you and doesn't want you to score, or he has a bet or something, you're offsides.
Yeah. And how many goals have been waved off because of offsides? They'll just go, oh, it was offsides.
Well, how many people were offsides and they didn't bother to call it because they wanted to let them get a shot on goal? And of course, my personal favorite, the fact that the net is the size of Jupiter. If you can't score into that, you're a pussy.
I know. Any other sport, that would be considered like too big to miss. You know what I mean? It's humongous. But I don't know. I can't. And you see people, they're so happy over 1-0 games.
Oh,
or 0-0 ties. Oh, they love it.
And calling it nil. Fuck you.
Or Zed.
Who uses nil? Losers.
The British, right?
Yeah, I know. I love the Brits, but that's just stupid.
No, soccer is the worst game on the planet. At least if they had soccer where you could physically like stab somebody or kick them in the balls or something like that. But
that's another thing. The acting.
Oh, yeah.
The diving.
Oh, horrible.
You can't. I mean, people fall down. They grab their legs. They're wreathing in pain. And then like they call a pal, like on the other guy, they give him a card.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gets up and he like jogs back to the other. Like, look what I did.
What is it? His birthday? He gets a card.
It's a green card because they're all illegal.
But it's hilarious because like if you go to YouTube, they have these video compilations of people taking flops in soccer. Yeah. Without anybody touching them.
Right.
Like, you'll just see guys jogging, and then they just decide to fall down and grab their knee and point at someone.
Yeah.
And the referees come over and go, oh, that was a foul.
And we saw that. And here's your card, asshole.
By the way, I've got $100,000 on the other team right now. So anyway, yeah, so soccer is just made for corruption. And it's the only sport on the planet outside of politics that's just built for corruption.
Or even the goalie. Suppose the goalie, like, well, I agreed to let them win.
Yeah.
So I'll let, like, some soft goal go, you know, like, I'll let something go in that I normally could have stopped.
But I'm not even talking about that, because theoretically, you could go to any sport and corrupt players.
Yes.
But I'm just talking, there's very few sports where the rules are so susceptible to corruption.
Right.
Like, baseball, there's very few things that are open to corruption. Maybe an umpire calling an out or a safe, but it's not that way.
You could Fogle saying the strike zone.
But it's, you know, you never see it. Boxing is corrupt by its definition.
Oh, boxing is.
But at least there's always the chance that somebody can knock you out and take the corruption out of it.
but that's one of the reasons why I just could never ever get into. I mean, when I was a kid, my brother and I actually followed Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and those guys. But like after that era.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about boxing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just because the corruption.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many, even just like TV shows, movies, how many have they done where like, and they show like just, like you're going down the third.
Right.
Yeah. Like let them punch you around a little bit.
Well, that's the old thing. Yeah. Taking a dive in the boxing ring and all that. But boxing, you know, it is a corrupt sport, but it basically comes from the corruption of the promoters setting up fights the way they want.
Don King.
Yeah. Like Don, well. Allegedly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have to say that. Allegedly.
Don King Lee. Allegedly. Some other guy I heard of. Allegedly.
You know what the fucked up part is? I could just stop this recording here and cut out his name, but I never do.
Phil? You want to get on it?
I never do. I could always just say, Phil, stop it, back it up. But
I don't have to sit there and say allegedly.
But we have this fucking integrity that says we're recording a show live. That's the promise we make to our listeners.
That's right.
We're not taping this and like stopping it and editing it. This is, ladies and gentlemen, we sit down and we go through this in one shot.
That's it.
If we had the technology available to us to cheaply do this live, like on the radio, which is what we really want.
Please.
This is what we would be doing. So our promise to you is when you hear the riot,
you're hearing the riot.
You're hearing the riot.
Despite Judah Merriam's lack of knowledge of the legal.
Yes, lack of legal knowledge where Big Fat John has to keep constantly pounding his head on the microphone going, allegedly. Oh, for God's sake, it's alleged.
My First Amendment rights. Well, this really has nothing to do with the First Amendment.
Allegedly.
That's another one of my things. Everything I associate with the First Amendment. Who cares if it's the government? Hey, don't violate my rights, allegedly.
Hey, man, don't Fogle sang my rights.
Don't Fogle sang my rights, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been using it around the house and driving my wife crazy. She's like, John, you don't feel good? Oh, my stomach feels all fugglesanged right now. And she goes, what?
Allegedly.
Yeah, when I have to take a shit, I call it fugglesanging something out of my ass.
Yeah, I took a big Obadala this morning. It was really stanky. Right out of the Lebanese ass. Allegedly. What a pussy world. I know. You have to say allegedly.
Yeah. Or it's my opinion. That's the other thing. So you just have to learn a few phrases, that's all. In my opinion.
I'd rather not. I'd rather say whatever stupid thing comes into my head.
And have me say
it out there. And I'll let you filter it. Because I turn 50, and when you're 50, yeah, yeah. You lose your filter.
Yeah, you don't give a shit. I still got a couple of years before I hit that non-filter 50, so the non-filthy filter 50.
You're still suffering in your filtered ignorance.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. The biggest pussy word.
Oh, man, that's like... Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing they tell you in radio. If you just throw in allegedly, you're like, you're covered.
Yeah. It's just my opinion.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
That guy looks like a faggot, in my opinion.
He looks like a cigarette from Britain. Thank you.
That used to be the thing, by the way, in New York, but they just... there was a ruling at the Supreme Court level that calling someone gay is no longer basis for defamation.
Really?
Yeah, because like basically some judge or a panel of judges came up with a very common sense thing that if the gay community is always saying like there's nothing wrong with us, we need equal rights, it's not embarrassing to be gay, then it can no longer be considered defaming to someone to refer to them as gay.
Hmm. That's interesting.
You know what I mean? So, like, it'd be like me calling you, hey, man, you're British.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't sue me for defamation.
I could.
You wouldn't win, right? You would just say, oh, he made a factual error. He's not British, right? Yeah. Same thing with being gay now. It's like if I called you, hey, man, you're gay, it would be like, well, I'm not gay. Well, all right. It's like, because it's not, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, this is normal, this is typical.
Well,
we have
if you had
basic
it both
rights.
Ways, that would be bisexual.
Right. And I don't think they've ruled on that yet.
Yeah, they haven't ruled on that yet. That ruling is gay.
But if you think about it, like if I said, hey, Judah Larriam, you're a married man, and you go, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Right? You wouldn't sue me for defamation, is my point. The courts would laugh it out, right? You would just say, I'm not married, and leave it at that. It would be a factual error that has no bearing on your reputation or anything.
Right.
So,
and I would point out how happy I am to be single.
But that's my whole point, right? So it's interesting that New York ruled that way.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, what did you think of our governor Cuomo II, stating that if you're
a conservative,
a pro-life, yeah, anti-government, and pro Tea Party, you have no place in New York, and you should move out.
Yeah, conservatives should leave.
Yeah,
he said extreme conservatives,
which for him means anybody not sucking Obama's dick.
Yeah,
basically.
Anybody from Peter King on.
Peter King, not the writer.
Not the writer. The Congress. Isn't that his name?
Yeah, it is Peter King, but there's also Peter King, the sports writer.
That guy's a loser. I don't want to talk about him. I don't like Peter King. He started that whole business.
You're talking about the congressman, right?
No, now I'm talking about the sports.
Oh,
writer.
Okay, now I'm confused.
I'm annoyed with him because he started now this whole thing a couple of months ago. Whenever he refers to the Redskins,
yeah,
he calls them the team from Washington.
Oh, fuck him.
Fuck you, Peter King.
Why confuse people?
I liked you better when you were 900 pounds.
Yeah, all of a sudden, people who've called them the Redskins for like 30, 40 years now decide that they're going to do the right thing and say the team from Washington.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But to your point, yeah, Cuomo said that conservatives should leave.
What do you think about that?
I'm not surprised. I mean, look, you know, from his point of view, these people are, you know, he probably thinks they're unreasonable.
They're the devil.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if I were governor,
yep.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. If I were the governor, I would tell Democrats to leave, even the reasonable ones.
Yeah.
Just fuck you. Get out.
We don't need you.
We don't need you. I really don't need
you. That's what Giuliani did when he was mayor.
Yeah, I don't need you to govern.
I'm not working with you. Yeah. That's all there is to it. But it's interesting that he would choose to say that, though, because I think he's gone out of his way to try to come across as nonpartisan in New York.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, for the son of such a liberal icon like his dad, Mario.
Well, he's not as liberal as him.
No, but I'm saying he comes from a very liberal icon. Andrew Cuomo is the current governor. His father, Mario Cuomo, was governor here forever back in the 80s.
Yeah, three terms.
Three terms or so. Very liberal governor. Yeah. He's the guy who basically 86'd the death penalty, I believe, in New York until Pataki brought it back after him. But anyway, my point being is for the son of such a liberal icon, he's tried to walk a relatively moderate, for New York at least, path, right? I mean, he did approve
for
that.
For a Democrat.
For a Democrat in New York. And I mean, he did approve that horrible gun control law. One of the strictest here in New York State.
He knee-jerked on that one. But he's also been tough on unions. And
in general, he hasn't been the worst. Listen, unlike MSNBC, we can concede when somebody from the opposite party has not been horrible.
He's
doing a solid job. That's we disagree all. With some of the things he did, but you're never going to agree with everybody. And but I honestly thought that was a little... a little bit too partisan for him.
Yeah, it was, but you have to remember, he did say something about extreme conservatives, and what he said was...
Pro-life.
But he was referring to, like, Tea Party people, and he said that there's a battle going on for the soul of the Republican Party, right. And, like, quite honestly, the people who you don't like that you right. think are rhinos, he right. thinks are the real Republicans.
Right.
And the people
but why would a Democrat give a shit?
Yeah,
I love how Democrats want to define the Republican Party. They do it on MSNBC all the time. They keep saying Chris Christie, the leading Republican candidate for 2016. Who the fuck made him the leading Republican candidate other than Democrats?
Right.
Democrats make him the leading candidate because they know they can beat him.
Right.
They know Hillary.
But also
will
they
beat
just
him.
Like him and they think he's like reasonable or something.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they know he's an asshole. I think Democrats view him as a bully. They view him as somebody who's overbearing in Jersey.
But I don't care what they think. I mean,
I'm just saying.
The Democrats to judge the Republicans is like asking a vegetarian to judge a steak dinner.
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't do it. Shut up.
But it's always interesting to me that people fall for that gag.
Oh, yeah.
If conservatives or libertarians start saying this is how Obama needs to redefine his party, nobody in the Democratic Party gives a shit. Nobody in the media gives a shit because they realize that it's the political opponent. And what reason do they have to tell you how to do better?
Right.
Right. But the other direction seems to take everyone by storm. Cuomo thinks this is what Republicans should do.
Right.
Who the fuck cares? I don't give a shit what Andrew Cuomo thinks about how Republicans should act.
Yeah, but ultimately he was also saying that it's not the values of New Yorkers, so that they should leave the state.
Well, it depends, right? Like, I think he's probably right. New York has always been a liberal state. I don't think there's any point in debating that. We've always been
the city's more liberal.
You're right,
the skirts of the state, not so much.
Right, like the outskirts of the state. Outside of New York City, you're absolutely right. The people tend to be more like our Senator Gillibrand. Like, she still owns her guns, right?
Oh, yeah.
She fell in line with the gun control, but she's a gun owner. She wasn't as crazy. She takes up her women's issues, whatever. Yeah. But that's the way the rest of the state tends to be. But New York in general is a liberal democratic state. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The same way no one would argue that Texas is a conservative state. Or that California is a liberal state, right? But I think when you talk to individual people, most people don't want to pay higher taxes.
No, not at all. I think people are fleeing higher taxes.
Right. The abortion issue in New York is not as clear cut as the governor would like to pretend. Yes, New York City is pro-abortion, without a doubt. But the rest of the state is filled with a lot of Catholics, for example, who are anti-abortion, who follow Cardinal... what's his name? The new cardinal? The fat guy? Dolan. Cardinal Dolan. Well, that's how I pictured him compared to the guy before.
Allegedly.
No, he's not allegedly. He's a big guy. Timothy Dolan. He's a big guy. But anyway, my point being that you have a lot of Catholics in New York and a lot of minorities in New York who, even if they're not Catholic, are anti-abortion, simply based on religious values. So in the state, not in the city. So anyway, my point is, Governor Cuomo, I don't think it's as clear-cut as you make it out to be. Like, yeah, New York is not going to be a Tea Party state. We understand that.
Yeah, but he was actually attacking a lot of other things, not so much the pro-life thing. He was very clear.
He said if you're pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-Tea Party, you have no... I mean, he didn't just say if you're pro-Tea Party.
Yeah.
He very specifically said pro-life, pro-gun... which also falls into a lot of the things that, say, libertarians are trying to do in New York, right? Because that also falls in line.
Yeah, but libertarians aren't against abortion.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. I mean, some of them are.
They're not pro-abortion. They're not pro-abortion either. They're pro-individual choice. Yeah.
But that works out the
right,
same
right.
way. They're not against it.
Right.
They don't want the government deciding. They want you to decide.
Right. But that would take away what Democrats want, which is like funding for abortions, having it be a part of Obamacare. Right. Libertarians, yes, they're not like the ones protesting the abortion clinics, but at the same time, they're not the ones that want like universal health care with abortion rights in it.
Right.
So, you know, when people say libertarians are not pro-life, that's true, but they're not exactly the pro-choice that Democrats or liberals pretend to be either.
Right. No, of course not, because when the Democrats start getting the government involved right. with funding or whatever, that's
what libertarians just don't want to pay for anything. Is basically what it comes down to.
No, in fact, you wouldn't even get your mail if the libertarians were, because they hate the post office.
Yeah, I do too. There's no point for it.
It loses like $25 million a day or something.
Actually, you know what? I read though that contrary to popular belief, the post office is not funded by the government.
Really?
Yeah. In other words, no taxpayer money goes towards it. It's really interesting. This is one of those situations where I stand corrected.
I never heard that.
For the last 10, 12 years, the post office has actually been running on its own like a business, like a real business. That it's still regulated by Congress.
Right.
But it doesn't get like taxpayer funding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I have to be the first one when I, you know, when I get facts. We like we said, we will never apologize for our opinions. But when someone shows us facts that say we were wrong, we'll admit it and we'll apologize. I was one of those people that thought the post office, and I guess this was my thinking from the 80s when the post office was being funded by the taxpayers and was losing money hand over fist.
Right.
But now, apparently, that's not the case. I'll try to send you that link, Judolarium.
Oh, I would be very interested
definitely in
reading that, because I don't mind admitting, you know, if you're wrong about it. On the other hand, whoever pointed that out, fuck you. How dare you embarrass us? This is our show.
You ruined a couple of talking points for us, you fucks.
You fugelsanged my obadala.
As it is, we don't do any research for this fucking show.
No, this is all ad-libbing, which I think proves we're superior broadcasters.
Hey, man, don't fugelsang those facts.
That's it.
Oh, man, what else you want to talk about?
Did you do any twatting, whatever?
Twatting?
nothing at all this past couple of days?
No, I have to tell you, I was pretty quiet over the weekend. I was busy working on my new project, so
giving the people on Twitter a break. leave us alone.
Giving various celebrities on Twitter a break. Nah, the only person I really bothered was Kim Kardashian.
And
she's too stupid to know that I'm trolling
please.
Her. The funny part is she put like a selfie picture of her ass out, like where she was getting dressed, and she just showed off her ass and tights and stuff.
Jesus.
The only problem was she did such a horrible job photoshopping, because she trimmed all the fat off her ass using Photoshop.
Oh, please.
And the funny part was that the reason you know it's photoshopped is because she took a picture in a bathroom that had tiles.
Okay.
And the tiles were warped in the picture. Because when she photoshopped it, I guess she didn't hire a real professional.
She probably did it herself.
Right. So you see around the area where her ass is, because it's a flat, obviously it's not 3D, the background is all warped.
What an idiot. She's married to that other idiot.
Yeah. They're like the perfect pair of dumb twats. Both of them.
And what's annoying is they have millions and millions of dollars, and they
because people are stupid,
and they get to have wonderful lives. Like
why does Kanye? Fair enough, he's a singer, an art, whatever. Fair, at least he produces something.
Yeah,
Kim Kardashian. The only reason she even gets to sell perfume or clothes or anything is just because she has a big fat ass.
She has a fat ass. She has reasonably big tits.
Yeah, she's got a big fat Armenian ass. Her dad is famous for hiding OJ's weapon.
Right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But the only reason she's famous is because her mother like decided to whore her out at an early age with the sex tapes and the partying and the
football.
Yeah, and you could see that with all the daughters in that clan.
Yeah, they're idiots.
Well, they're not idiots. They're because they're making money hand over fist.
Well, that's really annoying. Yeah.
They're cunts.
How come you can say that? You can't say anything that I say.
Because there's truth.
Oh,
truth is a defense.
Okay.
All those women have cunts.
Oh, okay.
That's a biological fact.
Oh, okay.
Now, if I called a man a cunt,
you might be Irish. They use that like crazy over there.
Yeah. Oh, cunt in England?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's in, like, in hey, Ireland. Pal. Yeah. Hey, pal.
No, but they use it. They use it like in a derogatory way, but it doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
No, no.
It doesn't mean what it means over here. Like, yeah, like sometimes, like if you say something funny, but then they're like, yeah, that was really funny. Yeah, cunt.
Yeah. It's like nigga with an A at the end.
Allegedly.
Yeah, but by the way, what is it with women when they, like, I've never seen any person stopped in their tracks by a single word like a woman will be when they hear the word cunt.
Oh, well, that, look.
And it doesn't have to be directed at them.
That's not just, no, that's not just women. That word does not play in this society. That's it. Even your boy Russell Peters or whatever that guy's name is.
Oh, the comedian?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a routine he did. Yeah. He was over in England.
Right.
And he goes, and he was talking about the fact that he goes in North America, he goes, you can't use it. He goes, over here, you guys use it like the. You know, it's like.
No, listen, I agree it's the ultimate A-bomb when you're arguing with a woman. That calling her a cunt brings everything to a screeching halt. But I'm wondering, in your opinion, what is it about that particular word?
Because it's
like
real.
I could call you a pussy, a fag, an idiot, and you as a man may object to any one word, but nothing will bring a man to that type of screeching halt.
But I can shrug those off because they're true.
But think about it.
No, I
there is no
I
word I can call you or you me.
Yeah.
That will you or that you can universally trot out against a man.
Right.
But no, women, right. For even the most like liberal, progressive woman, like you can bring Gloria Steinem in here,
right.
But if you call her a cunt, she reverts to like this timid little thing that's offended by the very utterance of. I don't get it. I wonder what that is.
It's not bitch anymore. That's become like a joke.
And it wasn't even really that as. It was never as bad as cunt. Calling a woman a bitch was never as bad as calling her a cunt.
Yeah, no, cunt is just in a different cat. Oops, excuse me. It's in a different.
There you go. It's got you upset.
Judah Larry Gass. That it's always been in a different category.
I wonder why.
Because it's horrible.
It's mind-boggling to me. Yeah, but why isn't pussy that bad?
Because it's funny.
See, that's what I'm trying to get at. They mean
they
the same thing.
They even made the band after it.
But they mean the same thing. Pussy and cunt refer to the same anatomical structure. Why is one viewed different. With affection? Oh.
Because
your pussy
for the same
smells
reason,
like flowers.
For the same reason you have gay and you're a faggot.
But
they mean different things, John. It's
but faggot was used by people to specifically beat the shit out of someone. They were used as a tool of discrimination. That word, faggot, in the U.S., was used as a tool of discrimination. And there was a routine on Louis C.K.'s show where a gay comedian said faggots were the bundles of sticks that they used to light gay people on fire in the Middle Ages when they burned them at the stake.
That's true.
All right? So that word, I can see why that word has such a negative connotation.
Why, it's such a comedic value.
But I mean, etymologically, you like that big word? Etymologically?
Spell it.
No. E-T-Y. Anyway. I can trace the root of that word and see why it's so offensive and why it's so upsetting. I can't with cunt. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, is there an Arabic word for cunt?
Yeah, of course there is.
What is it?
Of course it.
Oh, is that it?
Well, but it's that or couscous.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, I speak Greek fluently. There is no word equivalent to cunt in Greek that I can think of.
How about Greek?
There you go.
Is that a put down?
Yeah, yeah. How about like non-anal? That's insulting to a Greek. Can I fuck you in the ass? No. I'm insulted.
I'm insulted. What's that stop sign you have outside of your ass?
What's that stop tattoo over your ass? My wife has one of those.
I can't explain it.
Exit only.
I can only explain it as it has the connotation of something really horrible.
Yeah.
It just,
if any of our listeners understand where that comes from, please feel free to tweet us.
Especially if you're a cunt.
Yeah. All right, look, I can't top that. Let's end it on that one.
And on that note.
All right, everyone. This was a rare Monday session of that riot show.
You notice we didn't mention Martin Luther King Jr. at all.
Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. Monday episode of that riot show. Remember, you could always catch us on facebook.com/thatriotshow. Go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. You could catch us on Stitcher, Player FM, SoundCloud and on YouTube as well. Just search for That Riot Show. And don't forget, you can always find us on thatriotshow.com. Until our next episode, this is Big Fat John.
And Judah Lariam.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Lariam. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. Are 16-year-old girls legal in Tennessee? Just asking for a friend.